Hey, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Good morning, and great to see you here today. But I have a question. What's the big deal about this Easter thing? Why is it so important? On the cable news today, you'll hear that all over the world, Christians are celebrating Easter, the day Jesus rose from the dead. And then they'll invariably mention that Easter is the holiest day in the Christian calendar. Okay, but why? What's the big deal? Experts tell us that Easter is the best Sunday of the year for church attendance. If someone is going to attend church only once a year besides a wedding or a funeral, it's most likely going to be on Easter Sunday. Okay, but why? What's the big deal? Research shows that candy sales are higher on Easter than any other holiday of the year. Halloween is second, Valentine's Day is third. Okay, but why? What's the big deal? According to the National Retail Federation, Americans will spend more than ever on Easter this year. Okay, but why? What's the big deal? Of course, different people will provide different answers to why it's a big deal for them. For some, it may be just a family tradition. For others, it's a great time for the kids to celebrate with candy and bunnies and egg hunts and Easter parades and plays. For others, it's a time to buy some new clothes. See, some of you have some new clothes on out there. That's great. Well, I get all that. But what I want to know is, why did it become a big deal in the first place? Why is it the most important day on the Christian calendar? What's the big deal? That's what we're looking at today. And I'm here to tell you that it's a big deal for a very good reason. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, the world would be dramatically different today. For one thing, you probably never would have even heard of Jesus. I know he's the most famous character in all of human history, but you probably never would have heard of him unless he had been raised from the dead, unless you were a history buff interested in failed messiahs in first century Judaism. You never would have heard of him. You never would have heard of church or Christianity or any of the other things that have resulted from Christianity's influence, like the university, for example, public education, democracy for all, the abolition of slavery, hospitals for the general public, modern science, women's rights, and many, many other things that demonstrably are attributable to the influence of Christianity. Think of how the world would be different. Can you even imagine it without those things? Things that would likely not exist if Jesus had not been raised from the dead on that first Easter. Today, I want to share with you just how much of a big deal, how much of a game changer Jesus' resurrection is. My goal is that when you leave church today, you're going to be thinking and saying to yourself and maybe others, man, am I glad Jesus rose from the dead. I'm so happy, I'm so pumped to celebrate Easter that Jesus is alive. Let's first refresh the story. What is it that we're even talking about here? We look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, the first six verses. And please, read along with me when we come to the yellow print. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." After this, the risen Jesus appeared many times to his disciples and even to some skeptics. Our message today can be wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you should remember if you forget everything else that I say, and if you're taking notes on your outline that's there in your program, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this: Jesus' resurrection is the game changer for everything. Everything. Now, maybe you think that's a little overblown, but I'm here to tell you today that it's way more than bunnies and baskets and bonnets. It is the game changer for everything. It's even bigger than what I've already shared with you of the influence of Christianity. Let me share with you today three momentous realities that you can know for sure if Jesus really rose from the dead. They're there on your outline, and you want to fill in the blanks as we go along. The first of the momentous realities that you can know for sure if Jesus rose from the dead, point number one, is his shocking claims are true. Let's say after church one Sunday, I take you aside to share a secret with you. I say, "I want you to know that I'm actually an alien from outer space." Now, Mary might believe it, but but the rest of you are going to say, "Bad joke, Randy. I mean, you're weird, but your weirdness is better explained other ways than that." There's no way, you think, I could possibly be serious about something so absurd. But as I keep talking to you, you realize, "Oh, wait a minute, I think he really means it. He really thinks this." Now, do you believe me? Of course not. No way. Instead, you start getting worried about me. You start thinking, what's Randy been smoking? He's finally cracked up. I mean, he really needs that sabbatical they've been talking about around here. He's gone off the deep end. But hypothetically, what would it take to convince you I was not delusional or high on drugs or mentally ill, but I was really telling you the truth? I mean, a claim so outlandish would take some mighty convincing proof, would it not? It would take something hugely dramatic and super convincing. If we went outside and a spaceship appeared in the sky and then landed in the parking lot, you might think that you're dreaming or that I slipped something into your coffee when you were here. You'd say, "This can't be happening." You might even faint. But then suddenly I morph into a little green man. It's the best I could do on short notice. All right? Sorry. I morph into a little green man before your very eyes, and I walk on board the spaceship. By this time, your family and friends are standing around you. They see it too. And maybe when it's all over, you're still skeptical. You're thinking, it must be some crazy hallucination or a drug trip or something. But then it happens again. And then again. And it happens again to your loved ones and in different settings. And so now you have to admit, outrageous as it seemed at first, my shocking claim was true. Randy really is an alien. That's a better picture of me than the other one. Now, I know it's an absurd example, but when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he made some astounding claims, downright shocking claims. So shocking that some of the people wanted to put him to death for those claims. Let me give you some examples of Jesus' shocking claims. And you tell me if these are outrageous or not. First of all, Jesus claimed that he was God in human flesh visiting this planet. The religious leaders in Jesus' day had a cow over this. They believed that such a claim was blasphemous. It was outrageous for a man to claim to be God. In fact, they thought he deserved to die for making this claim. Look at what it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 33. They replied, "We're stoning you. We're putting you to death for blasphemy. You, a mere man, claim to be God." Now, I think it's safe to say that claiming to be God is kind of on par with claiming to be an alien from outer space. I mean, it's in that same kind of category. It might even be worse than that. A person like this needs a psych ward and lots of therapy. Unless somehow he can show that he's actually telling the truth. Now, I know that's a tall order, if there ever was one. Let's look at another one of Jesus' shocking claims. He's the Savior of the world. Jesus predicted his own death. Now, yeah, I might say, well, other people have predicted their own death. Maybe he thought it was inevitable, so that isn't all that unusual. But what's more is that he said that his death would pay our penalty to God the Father for the sins of the world. Now, talk about a Savior complex. A person like this needs a psych ward and lots of therapy, unless somehow he can show he's actually telling the truth. That's a tall order, I know, if there ever was one. Let's look at a third example of Jesus' shocking claims. He claimed that entrusting himself, yourself, to him brings eternal life. Jesus claimed to be the final judge of humankind. How you respond to me, Jesus taught, determines your eternal destiny. Whoever trusts in me has everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. A person like this needs a psych ward and lots of therapy. Unless he can somehow show that he's actually telling the truth. And I know that's a tall order. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the filling of that tall order. It's the equivalent, in my absurd illustration, of the spaceship in the parking lot and my morphature into an alien. Before your very eyes, Jesus' resurrection shows us that it's all true. The gospel writer and historian Luke in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "After his sufferings," talking about Jesus, "after his suffering, he presented himself to them," his disciples, "and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. This is what convinced the disciples that it was all true. It's why they were willing to suffer and die torturous deaths for their testimony. Jesus' resurrection is the game changer for everything. It makes all of his shocking claims believable. It's why Easter is such a big deal. Let's look at a second momentous reality that you can know for sure if Jesus rose from the dead. Number two on your outline. The universe is starting over. Present tense. Not just will start over, but is already starting over. Now, I told you that these were momentous realities. You might think, you are crazy, Randy, but the universe is starting over. And let me explain myself. Let's say you step outside and you notice, and I hope this isn't going to happen today, but you notice that there's some really dark clouds rolling in. And you hear some rumbling, and then you feel a big raindrop fall onto your head, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. Pretty soon, it's coming down like Niagara Falls. But it all started with that one raindrop. Once it fell, you knew that more was coming. Well, Jesus' resurrection is like that first raindrop in a whole universe of raindrops that are coming. How so? Well, the answer is simple, yet profound. Jesus' resurrection, you see, was not just a return to life as we know it. Prophets in the Old Testament raised people from the dead. Jesus himself raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. He raised a young man from the dead outside of the city of Nain. He raised Lazarus from the dead when he had been already buried for 4 days. The apostles raised people from the dead. And there are numerous eyewitness accounts verified by medical professionals of people being raised from the dead in our own day when they were prayed over by Christians. But Jesus' resurrection is not like any of those cases. How so? Because all of those people simply returned to normal living and they eventually died like everybody else, but not Jesus. When Jesus' body came back to life, it was transformed, we're told in Scripture, into a physical body that would never die, a body no longer subject to pain or death or aging or corruption or imperfection or death. It's even better than my body. I know, I don't like to show this too often, you know. Always makes the women go wild. And the men get angry and jealous and all that kind of thing, but it is what it is. Jesus' resurrected body belongs to what the Bible calls the new creation. The Bible teaches that one day God is actually going to recreate the universe, a universe in which pain and suffering and disease and earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and decay and death are eliminated, and a perfect universe is brought into being out of the old. The Bible calls it the new heaven and the new earth. The new creation will happen after Jesus returns in power and great glory. just as Jesus foretold. But the Bible also teaches that Jesus' resurrection was the first raindrop in the coming downpour of God's new creation. Let me just show you a couple passages here. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 20. It says, "But Christ really has been raised from the dead. He is the first of all those who will rise." Notice that. "Death came because of what a man did." It's talking about Adam. Help me. "Rising from the dead also comes because of what a man did." That's Jesus. "Because of Adam, all people die. So because of Christ, all will be made alive." But here is the order of events. Christ is the first of those who rise from the dead. When he comes back, those who belong to him will be raised. Jesus is what the Bible calls the firstborn of the dead, the first one to come out of the dead in this new creation mode. But it isn't just with people that will follow him. The Bible also teaches that this is going to happen to the whole universe. It's going to be resurrected from its corruption and decay. And it's going to happen through the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." All of this because Jesus rose from the dead. This is incredibly awesome. When Jesus returns, he's going to transform the bodies of his followers to be just like his own glorious, immortal resurrection body. Talk about the transformers. Jesus is the true transformer. But it's not just that. The Bible teaches that Jesus will raise all of the dead before the great judgment. And then he will use that same resurrection power to bring the whole universe under his complete control. The Bible, again, refers to this as the new heaven and the new earth. A new universe. A new universe. Because Jesus rose from the dead. I would say that this qualifies as a big deal. Would you agree? It's a game changer. Jesus was the first raindrop in the downpour of a new creation. Let's look at the third momentous reality you can know for sure if Jesus rose from the dead. Number three on your outline. You're faced with two options. Here's where the rubber meets the road, folks. The chili meets the cheese. Jesus' resurrection is what calls every person on the planet to consider his awesome claims, because if he did rise from the dead, it has radical implications for your life and for mine. It all rises and falls on the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is the hinge on which his identity and his claims swing. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you can safely dismiss him. You can safely dismiss the Christian religion. No worries. Just chuck it all and go about your life. Now, maybe you're thinking, Randy, that sounds a little extreme. I mean, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I mean, there'd still be something good to the Christian faith, don't you think? No, I disagree. And so, you might be surprised, does the Bible itself. Look at what the Apostle Paul, who was an eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus. Look at what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Let's read that again, maybe this time together. Help me out. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You can go home. Don't ever come back to church again. Me, I'm handing in my resignation. I'm looking for a new religion or philosophy or something else. No way would I continue to be a Christ follower if somehow it was demonstrated that he did not rise from the dead. It's all or nothing. It's resurrection or bust. So much rides on this. It's not safe to ignore Jesus unless you're sure he did not rise from the dead. Here's the way Jesus himself put it. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 and 25, for that matter. Help me out when we come to the yellow print. Jesus is speaking. Then he said to all of them, if anyone wants to follow me, he must say no to himself. He must pick up his cross every day and follow me. If he wants to save his life, he will lose it. But if he loses his life for me, he will save it. What good is it if someone gains the whole world but loses or gives up his very self? Jesus doesn't allow any neutrality. He didn't intend to. He says there's no fence sitting. He gives us two options in that passage and in many others. Option one, abandon yourself. Pick up the cross. Follow me. Option two, refuse to follow Jesus and face whatever consequences may come. Many years back, when I was a teenager, I chose option one for me. I said to Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. And folks, my life has been changed ever since that day. I know Jesus personally. I know that he lives. He's in my life. It's a real relationship. It's not just a religion or a ritual or a set of rules. He's been the game changer of my life. If you've never chosen option one, today you can come to know the risen Jesus in a personal and powerful way. You can become a Christ follower today. It's very simple, but it will be the game changer of your life and your eternity. How do you do it? Well, first, you confess to God that you need a Savior from all the violations of God's law, God's Ten Commandments and all his laws in your life. You need a Savior from that. It's called repentance. This is what the Bible calls it. You turn from yourself, you turn from your sins, you turn from your life as you know it, and you embrace Jesus. You entrust yourself to him as the leader of your life, as the redeemer, as the savior from your life. You believe that he died for you on the cross and arose from the dead. Today, Easter Sunday, 2017, can be the game changer of your life. But maybe you say, yeah, Randy, I'm just not ready for that. I mean, this sounds like a big step. Well, it is a big step. I'm not going to try to play it down. It is a big step. It will radically change your life and your eternity. Maybe you'd like to talk with somebody about it and get some of your questions answered. I invite you to speak with our pastoral prayer team. They'll be down here after the service. But maybe you say, Randy, I'm not sure I can buy the idea that Jesus really arose from the dead. Maybe there's some other good logical explanation that fits the evidence better. Fair enough. I can relate to that, actually. I'm kind of a skeptic, a doubter by nature. I can doubt anything, and not just having to do with my faith. If I lock the door, I got to go back and check it a few minutes later just to make sure that it's locked. I can doubt my own memory from a few moments ago. So I can relate to that. If you struggle with doubts, but you're open to the evidence and you'd like to check it out, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you free of charge a copy of this book. It's called The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus. I would like to give it to you. It's written by two world-class historians, Gary Habermas, happens to be a friend of mine, and Mike Lacona. They present the historical evidence for Jesus' resurrection. I would like to give you a free copy. Here's how you do that. Just take your connection card, you got it in your program when you came in today, and write your name on it and your email address, and that you would like a copy, turn it over where it says prayer requests, and that you would like a copy of this book. And I will order one for you this week and put it in your hands next Sunday. All you have to do is come up to me, and I just need to know how many to order. I'll order as many as people put on cards. No strings attached. Please, I really would love to give you this book. And if you like, answer any questions that you may have. But you don't have to do anything but accept the book. You don't have to talk to me. It doesn't have to get scary. I'll just give it to you. And you, on your own time, can just check it out. So please, accept the gift from me. Just fill out your name, your email address, and put on the back that you want this book and drop it in the offering when it comes by in just a few moments. But maybe you say, yeah, but Randy, I'm not much of a reader, and I don't want to read a book about something like this. Okay, fine. Let me give you another option. Check out brand new movie. It's called The Case for Christ. Just came out just real recently. It's the true story about an atheist journalist at the Chicago Tribune. His name is Lee Strobel, and he investigated the evidence for Jesus' resurrection when he was kind of compelled to do that. His wife had become a Christian, and it kind of rocked his life. And he set out to disprove it. But as he looked into the evidence for a period of 2 years, he became convinced that the evidence, the historical evidence for Jesus' resurrection is overwhelming. And at the end of that search, he committed his life to Christ. It's a true story. The movie is good. It's not only an entertaining story and captivating, but it also makes the case for Jesus' resurrection. I highly recommend it, The Case for Christ. It's now showing at the AMC 30, the MJR over at Partridge Creek, and the MJR at Van Dyke and 15 Mile Road. Check it out. Jesus' resurrection is too big to ignore. The stakes are too high. You need to check it out. Jesus' resurrection is the game changer for everything. We're going to close our service here in just a few moments. The ushers are going to come and prepare for our offering. Musicians are going to lead us in a closing song. And I'm just going to pray for the offering here, but if you'd like to talk with somebody or talk with me, feel free after the service to stick around. We've got some goodies back there, and would love to talk with you more about this, okay? Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this great holiday. I'm glad, Lord, we can celebrate it with candy and festivities and fun things to do. It's great. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ, that he really is alive. And the implications of that event on that first Easter morning are so huge. I thank you for saving me and many, many others that are here gathered. I pray for that person who may not be sure, who may have never taken that step of faith, that game-changing event. I pray, Lord, if that person is ready at this point to take that step, that person would say right now, between you and that person, Lord, I know I can't save myself. I know I have violated your commandments. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I turn from my sin. I turn from myself, my own way, and I want to embrace Jesus, God in human flesh, who died for me on the cross and arose bodily from the dead. Come into my life, Jesus. Transform me. Make me a new person today. I pray for that person, Lord, who might have been ready to pray that prayer. And I pray that today would be the day that many people would come to Jesus and step over that line separating death from life. I pray for that. I pray for others who still might have questions and are seeking and want to check things out. I pray, Lord, that you would help them as they do to take each step on that spiritual journey. Help them, Lord. And Father, for us who are giving to this offering, I just pray that this offering would be an act of worship from us to you. Not given because we feel guilty or like we have to give because we'll get punished if we don't, but just because we love you and we want to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.